to bring your attention to the fourth key in chanting good japa and good kirtan, that is the proper inner orientation. We had already yesterday the idea, we presented the seva mood, the seva bhava, and now we will move one level ahead. So let us start. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi jana vallava kire baradari. Gopi jana vallava kire baradari. Yasoda nandana praja jana ranjana. Yasoda nandana praja jana ranjana. Yamuna tira vanachari. Yamuna tira vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Prabhu Para, Jaya Prabhu Para, Prabhu Para Sila, Prabhu Para. Jaya Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Siddhartha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ayi nanda tanuya kinkaram. Patitamam vishame bhavam budho. Kripaya tava para pankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya ayinanda tanuya kinkaram Patitang mam vishame bhavam budho. Kripaya tava pada pankaja. Stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. Yes. Please, someone else. Ayinanda tanuja kinkaram patitangma vishame bhavam budho kripaya pavapara pankaja Sita duli sadisham vichintaya. Ayinanda tanuya kinkaram. Tanitamam vijame bhavam budho. Gripaya tava para pankaja. Maybe a Mataji? Ayinanda tanukinkaram Patitamamishame bhavam budho Sarisham vichintayam. Yes. Ayi. Oh my Lord. Nanda Tanuya. The son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna. Kinkaram. The servant. Patitam. Fallen. Mam. Me. Vishame, horrible. Bhavam budho, in the ocean of nescience. Kripaya, by causeless mercy. Tava, your. Pada pankaja, lotus feet. Stita. Situated at Dhuli Sadrisham, like a particle of dust, Vichintaya, kindly consider. This verse, which we are hearing in a second, is prefaced by setting up the scene, the circumstances in which it was spoken. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered himself a conditioned soul of the material world. He felt great humility welling up in his heart, and then very feelingly expressed his desire to be endowed with the service of the Lord. And this is what he said: O my Lord, O Krishna, O son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servant, but because of my own fruitive acts, I have fallen in this horrible ocean of nations. Now please be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. It's a very beautiful analogy. Lotus flowers have stems in them, and these stems each carry dust, or you call it also pollen, flower pollen. So this pollen naturally clings to the lotus flower. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses this as an analogy to say how absolutely natural it is that the soul is connected with the Lord. Here the word is used, the lotus feet of the Lord. Jayadvaita Maharaj gave a very nice explanation about this, the lotus feet. He said this means the entire Lord, not just the feet. Just like he said, we may say someone surrenders to the English crown. This didn't mean that someone would just go to a crown which would be there on a red velvet cushion and then pay his obeisances. No, it meant that someone surrendered to the king, the entire thing, you know, head, shoulders, everything down to the feet. So, or when you say 1,000 swords entered the battle, you don't just speak of, you know, the iron things, the swords, the arms. You think of the people who are carrying them. So when you say the lotus feet, consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet, it means, you know, please consider, I belong to you. I'm yours, really, and therefore kindly lift me up from my present fallen condition. And just on this verse, Krishna Das explains further. This is the author who put together the Chaitanya Charitamrita from which we are reading. I'm your eternal servant. This is what I am. My identity is like this. I'm your eternal servant, but I forgot your lordship. Now I have fallen in this ocean of ignorance, and I have been conditioned by the external energy, and it carries on. Be now causelessly merciful. He says, I know, there is no cause in me. I don't really deserve it. It's not that I did something wonderful or so. No, I'm fallen. Be causelessly merciful to me by giving me a place with the particles of dust at your lotus feet, so that I may engage in the service of your lordship as your eternal servant. Beautiful section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This verse, let me first pay my obeisances. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Zadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This verse reminds us of yesterday's workshop, where we heard that in order to really call out the holy name with some concentration, focus, and some devotional feelings, we need to think about our identity. Who are we? Because it is from the understanding of identity. I am your eternal servant. Where we develop our sense of values. If you think I'm a servant of Krishna, you feel your day is only valuable if you have done something for Krishna as a servant. You feel your day is not so valuable if you have just eaten a pizza, then taken a swim, and earned a lot of money, because that's all for yourself. But you're no longer identifying with this false sense of self. When you address your true identity, you think, what have I done today? For Krishna. You don't really think your day is valuable if you just had a good time for yourself. So in the when you are in your identity, my Lord, I'm your servant, and further even, I'm your fallen servant. I'm not now in your presence. I'm not together with you. I'm separated from you. At that time, the only thing which matters, the only thing which is valuable, is somehow to establish a connection through devotional service. And devotional service, or bhakti, we understand it starts with the simple service of shravanam, hearing, and kirtanam, glorifying Krishna. That's a bhakti, that's the main anga, the main, the body, it's the angi actually, the body of bhakti from which we all the other activities branch out. So, yes, this is so important in life, your sense of identity. Then based on that, your values, and then your priorities. This is first priority. This is on place number 100. and then your goals. Please excuse me. A lot of talking. So your goals. Yes. There may be many, many helpful advices, many helpful instructions, many helpful techniques. But if you don't have this clear about your identity, they have, and from it, that your real spiritual values and desires, then you don't get it. I would like to give you an example from modern psychology, which I would like to dedicate to Janakinath, because I think he can use it in his university presentations. Have you heard of the disease called now I might have need your help. What is it when someone is autistic? What is the disease?
Autism.
Thank you. Autism. It's a psychological thing where a person is really withdrawn in his own little world to a degree that he cannot enter a communication with others. An autistic child is only withdrawn. He doesn't look into other people. He cannot address them. It's a serious blockage which needs treatment. And it happens often amongst children, and it also happens, I'm sad to say, but also amongst grown-up people who are referring only to their own values, their own thinking, their own little world, and find it very difficult to enter meaningful friendships or meaningful communications because they are only with themselves, and they are too much in their own head to a degree which is where problems can come. So there was this one psychologist who had an autistic child as a patient and worked with the child for 3 years to somehow bring him out of his prison of the mind, you know. And one day, in great exasperation, he tried something. He took a pen and he just dropped it before the child and said, "Give me the pen." And somehow, this little act of taking the pen and just dropping it and say, "Please, give me the pen," did the job. The child just came out of his prison. He saw the pen and he said, "Here." The psychologist went, "Oh, a miracle! You are talking! You're communicating! Wow!" And the child was saved. He did everything normal. He could go again. You know, normal things. Play with children, go to the school, learn something, everything necessary. And the psychologist went to the next conference on autism and how to save people from this, and he introduced the pen method, and all the 1,000 psychologists thought, "Wow," because he was a case, it had worked. They were really inspired, and they started to do this with their patient. "Give me the pen." Now, do you think that worked? It worked zero. Because in this case where it was, there was something else than a technique, something else than a method working. It was the personal investment of this good man, this good doctor, who said this boy is wasting away. He will be all his life in a mental institute. I have to somehow get him out of his prison, his mentally perceived prison. And it's this intention that makes a good doctor. It's not a method which makes a good doctor. Or a parent. We have Priti and Deepak, young, enthusiastic, and able parents. It's not about methods or toys or what else? The newest trick in education, which makes the child feel safe and makes the child feel happy to develop its own life and the character. It's deeper. It's the love of the parents, the deep interest in his or her growth, which works. So in the same way, my dear devotees, Krishna consciousness is not about a technique, a new trick, a skill or something. It is about an inner orientation, an inner mood, and that will do everything. So here in this verse, this mood, which is the foundational mood of bhakti, is and the life force of our Gaudiya line, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it's the mood of vipralamba or longing. A devotee of Krishna typically will not say, oh, I have attained perfection, or I'm at a place now where I'm bang, it's good, I'm there, Prabhus, I got it. No, he will always be in the mood of, oh Krishna, I long for your company. Unless I have this, everything else is of preparatory value. It helps maybe, but it is not the end goal. No, so this longing here is expressed very, very beautiful in the prayers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the Lord, you know, he's Krishna incarnate, but he tells us the right mood. Oh Krishna, I yearn, I long to be reunited with you. This is my deepest desire. When I was in America this year, at an event called Sadhu Sangha, I listened to a lecture of one of my esteemed god brothers, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, and he told something about Prabhupada's take on this mood of longing. He had described, he was the temple president of the Mumbai temple, and one morning he had an appointment with a wealthy Gujarati businessman, Mr. Mehta. And he visited this man. I don't know if you know, but in India you find the super rich, you know. So he visited him in his massive mansion near Haji Ali. I don't know where that is. Haji Ali, part of Mumbai. And in the course of the conversation, Mr. Mehta said, in his lineage, it's the Vallabha Sampradaya, they have four prayers which they feel express the essence of their lineage. And these prayers can be found in the sixth canto. And as Giriraj Maharaj heard this man was reading them out to him in great enthusiasm. As he listened to the man, he felt reminded of our essence, the essence of our lineage. But he was not sure. So he was excited. He was with his discovery. We also read the Bhagavatam, and he happened to know these prayers. And he said, Prabhupada, I had this talk with, he met Prabhupada, he was in Mumbai, and he said, Prabhupada, I had this talk with Mr. Mehta, and he pointed out these four prayers. Prabhupada said, so what is it? And then he said, it's in the six cantos, the prayers of Vitasura. So Srila Prabhupada was sitting in his regal and majestic way there, and he motioned to the bookshelf like this, meaning, get these prayers, get them out from the and read them. So Giriraj Maharaj went to the bookshelf. He took out the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, verses 24 and 27, and he read the first of the four prayers. I will read them. Read this also to you. I will make you a little music so that you can concentrate better. Can I sing them to you because it's so beautiful? Not so encouraging, you just, but I will. I will try. I think you feel. Oh no! Now the donkey will bray again. Nam haritava padaikamula. Dasanudaso bhavitas mi buya manas maritasu pate gunangste grinita vakarma karotikaya. This is sung by a great devotee only moments before he gives up his mortal body. His body is mortally wounded in an armed conflict, and he lies there and he sings these prayers in the whole battlefield, including and especially his main adversary, who had hurled the weapons at him. Get shocked! My God, this is the greatest saint. This is what he says: O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. May I become the servant of your servant so that my words always glorify those attributes and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. He's there, you know, he's longing. Oh, will I join your servants? Will I assist them in serving you? Will this be given to me, this benefit? Prabhupada was like he was when he appreciated something, he would shake his head like this. Read the purport. Okay. This verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. Here Giriraj had his essence, his answer. Yes, this is the essence. It gives the sum and substance. That's a different way of saying the essence of devotional life. One must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, and he also showed by his own examples, that a living entity should always desire, long for, yearn, these are my words, he should always desire to be a servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. So, if you like to read these four verses, you can make a note in your notepads or iPhones or write them on your hand. It's a sixth canto, chapter 11 of the Bhagavatam, verses 24 to 27. I asked our Giriraj Maharaj, did you feel the Prabhupada pointed them out to be the essence? And he wrote me back on an email. Yes, I got the feeling that Srila Prabhupada considered the verses deeply significant, that he was relishing them as I was reading them out loud, and also that he was encouraging me in my appreciation of them. So yes, we could say that he considered them to express the essence of Bhagavad philosophy. So it is this essential mood, this essential, let us say, inner orientation, which is necessary to do bhakti and to do the central practice of bhakti, that is to chant the holy name. You should chant, and in your mind you should feel, I'm not yet there. I'm not yet deeply connected with Krishna. I wish to ask him to help me. And I will express this in the form of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I will call out for him, just like a child who misses its mother and who calls out for it. I know when I was a young boy, I was extremely temperamental. I mean, extremely. And my mother would always know, she would have to promise me, we would go once a year to the Hamburg Dome. Now, for a child, the word dome is the fulfillment of all his dreams. It's, I don't know what it is in English. It is, you know, where these things are and you sit like in a little toy car and you go on the, what is it called, the roller coaster. It's a whole place, like 1 kilometer big, where the ghost Geisterbahn, the ghost bahn, you would get in a car and the car would go into a dark place, and ooh, Frankenstein would jump at you, and the next one, Dracula. It was very good for me as a child. So, what do you call this? In German, you say Kirmes. Amusement park. Thank you. The amusement, very full-scale amusement park. Everything was there. I know, Ananta Gauranga, if you would have been a child my age, we would have gone together and we would really seen everything and experienced everything. So I would, you know, my mother said, you have to promise me this time you will not run away from me. No. Why? So the moment we came to the border of the amusement park, I said, Mother, I just have to just quickly go to the bathroom. And then I started to run and walk in the amusement park and go to one thing after the other, get scared to hell and everything. And I was just going wild as a child. What to do? I never said I'm a saint. No, I had a saintly background. So, yes. But eventually, small, I would miss my mother very much. And I would, it would become bigger and bigger, the problem. And I noticed, my God, I've lost her. And this is a huge amusement park. Where will I find her? And anyways, I'm also running out of money. But the main problem, I'm telling the truth, was I began to feel really lonely. And the kind guidance and protection of my mother was not there. And then I met this big dog and finally it became so severe that I was sitting down and I just cried out for my mother. And the whole, I have a loud voice, I always had it. I was really loud. And the whole amusement park stopped more or less and went to this little lonely boy crying out his heart, Mama! And my mother eventually found me and he said, you made the whole amusement park crazy with your loud. Why don't you stay with me? Then you stay out of trouble. And I said, next year. I remember this deeply calling and knowing now amusement park won't work any longer for me. Not even the roller coaster. I need my mother. She will comfort me. She will know what to eat, what not to eat. She will have a warm head because it was now night was coming, and I will be fine with my loving mother. So I have a very loving mother. Still, she is like this. So yes, I really. This is the mood. In the amusement park of the world, my dear devotees, when will you understand that this is not amusing? You are in deep trouble as long as you are separated from your only well-wisher, who can save you from the problems of the amusement park, like death, and old age and disease and all these things, you know. That is the right movement. Therefore, when the great Acharya Baladev Vidyabhushana described bhakti in a short form, there's a lot of philosophy, but in a short form he said, Bhakti means thirst. Thirst. I can have the most delicious water, but if I have no thirst, it will be of little use for me. I can have the most wonderful kirtan, but if I'm not in the place of longing for Krishna, I will become bored, especially when the singers change and a less talented singer sings. I can have a nice new bebek with very good counting beads. I can sit at a peaceful place, but if I don't have that inner thirst, this inner longing for Krishna, my rounds will be a drudgery. It's really hard labor. Another round. Why is this not working for me? I went to the Japa course, Holy Name retreat. There were some techniques, yes, and nothing works. Yes, because inside you need to correct something. You need to wake up to the concept of your real identity and your real need. This is the mood of the Gaudiyas. This is the essence of the Bhagavatam's teachings, longing for the Lord. I would like to read you a quotation from a lecture of Srila Prabhupada so that it becomes a little bit more clear what we are talking here. One moment, I need to find it. Yes, here it is. Oops. So this is actually not from a lecture, I'm sorry, it's from a letter which Prabhupada wrote. He said, "We should follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They are always serving Krishna in the mood of separation. They never said, now I have seen Krishna, or last night I danced with Krishna. No, they were crying, where is Krishna? And they were always searching after him, wondering when they would be finally able to see him. We should also desire intensely to see and be with Krishna. But the first thing is to become purified through devotional service. It is not possible otherwise." And it is here in this little hint, this mood will come naturally. It will spring out of your heart like a wellspring, like a, you know, water in a good well, when your heart is purified. When you are not purified, you want all these things which you don't need. A new car, a new toothpaste, if you're a simple person, a new, again and again. When your heart is purified, you will wake up to your real need and not waste your time with these so-called needs. And this purification comes really by chanting the holy names. The holy names will come in your heart and they will purify the heart. Krishna speaks about this in the Bhagavatam, that he himself comes into the heart when one listens about him, and he takes away the abhadrani. Shrinvatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtanam hridyantasto abhadrani vidunoti suritsatam. No? By hearing about the Lord, he becomes Hridyanta Sto, he's situated in the heart, and he takes out the abhadranis, the impurities. It's difficult for you to purify yourself. I always ask that when I go to the dentist, I ask them, have you ever heard of a dentist who drills his own teeth? They said, no, you have to go to someone else. So to do the deep, deep drilling, you know, can you imagine a dentist going like, it's not possible. to really do the deep things, the deeper purifications, not the external things where you dress new and have a new name and all these things. The deeper things, they come only by when you call out for Krishna and he takes it away. Here's a verse for you, which is quoted in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, and it will be my last verse. So the last time you will need to really concentrate. Here Krishna has a heart-to-heart talk with Arjuna, his very dear and close devotee. This talk is recorded in a work called the Adi Purana, and Krishna addresses now Arjuna. O Arjuna, listen very carefully to what is in my heart. Those persons who sing my name and dance directly before me truly purchase me. What is the Lord referring to? He's referring to devotees who make kirtans before his deity form. No. Those who sing my name and dance directly before me truly purchase me. I become their property. No? Don't be surprised by what I tell you now. Truthfully, those who sing my names and cry tears of longing purchase me. Janardana, this is another name of Krishna, completely, except for these devotees, no one else can purchase me. So note please, Krishna doesn't just say who sing my name, they get me. No, he says those who sing my name and cry tears of longing. Now, obviously, it's not about the tears, the water which comes dripping out. It's about the mood which is in there. Water may come or not come. This is water subject. We are talking about something else than water. We are talking about the mood, the longing, which should be there. And those truly get Krishna. Remember this definition of Baladev, thirst. If you have no thirst or longing, the good things which are there, the good juices which are there, coconut water, fresh water, you will not enjoy it. It will not give you taste. A devotee is healthy who longs, who yearns, who desires. And a devotee is unhealthy and sickly when he loses his taste, his yearning. When he loses his, in American English, this oomph, you know, his spirit of wanting to move on. In the end, I would like to tell you one little story which illustrates that in my mind so perfectly. Once the vice emperor Akbar wanted to have a little pause from his government duties, and he went into a mosque to read the Quran. So he stationed or placed a few guards before all the possible entries to this mosque, telling, please keep the people away. I need a little peace. I'm the supposed here to be the father, the king of this vast country, and I really need now a little time alone time, you say in English. I need some alone time. So let them wait for a moment, then when I'm out they can come in. So he was reading the Quran, it was good. And he noted outside, you know, they have these latticed windows, you know, it's like with holes, you know, many holes in the latticed windows. He saw a lady going with hurried steps before the mosque. Left, right, left, right, left. And she was gone for some time, but then she came and she had so much, you call it a presence, you know, to herself. She was so on fire, something was really moving her, that from time to time Akbar looked up. Strange, what is in her mind? And then again I'm reading. All of a sudden she saw the lady in the mosque. And not only that, the lady just walked, not hurried, you know, like to him, didn't see him, just and kicked him over. And the holy book fell away. Akbar went, stop! Guards! And the guards came in, armed guards, heavy guards, and they stopped the lady. Bring her outside, said Akbar. And he went with her outside and said, for this you will be killed. You have offended your emperor and you have offended the holy book. But before you will be executed, I have one question for you. What were you thinking? Small little lady. Sorry. Answer my question. So the lady knew. Few more minutes and then she would be decapitated or something. And she somehow managed to compose herself. And she looked at him, looked at him. She had something in her mind. You would see in a moment what was in her mind. It just shook her head. What were you doing before I disturbed you so much, Emperor? It's not your business to speak to you like me, but since you will be executed, I was just reading the holy book. No, said the lady, you were not reading the holy book. Listen, I heard that my lover came to town. The person I grew up with is my very good friend, my very beloved friend. And I'm so excited. I want to meet him. I want to be with him and talk to him and catch up.
if I was forgetting everything else, the place, you, and the holy book, because I was thinking of a friend, how much more should you have been absorbed reading the holy book? You should be with a supreme friend, with God. You were doing what most people were doing. You were not reading. You were pretending to read. I would like to add to this, not chanting, pretend, doing something in the name of chanting. When a normal human being is so absorbed just with the prospect, it's called in English, the idea, soon I will meet this very important person for me, then you should be more absorbed when you are approaching the Lord. Now, hang me, hot cat, decapitate me. Akbar was a good man. He had unified all various religions in India under a good rule. He said, "Gods, let her free." Because he saw the point. When you do your devotional activities with a proper orientation, you will be absorbed. You will be right there. You will be present in what you do. You will be present-minded, not absent-minded. But you can use all the techniques in the world, really all the techniques, and more. Sit properly, yes. Listen, yes. Concentrate, yes. But the main point will evade you. And the main point which you need, a devotion in your heart, a devotional experience, a loving experience, divine love, experience will escape you, and then your practice will become tiresome. It will become tiresome. So today in the workshop we will go deeper into this point. What is this mood exactly, and how do we appropriate it? How do we make it our own? Not artificial, but how does it come about? And it is in the workshop today. I promise the promised demigod will come and help us to understand something. There will be some dramatic presentation. So dramatic is not, maybe not the word. Theater-like. It is something unusual. You will see. You will see. I will end here my talking. I have talked enough. I hope you have seen the line. You need in spiritual life to come to your identity, because only then you will have the right needs. You will understand what you really need and what you really don't need also. And from that, it will be very natural that you develop the proper orientation, the proper mood, the proper spiritual thirst, if you so wish. And then everything will be really alive in you. Good. So I will end here. Are there any questions by any one of you? Dina Dayal. Yes.
By modern-day gurus, either in the character of management, they understand it. feel where you want to be. So they can say, if you cultivate separation, you will always be separated. There's nothing else.
Aha, yeah, yeah. Wonderful point. Mm-hmm. Can I repeat? You please monitor me if I... So you have said this mood of separation is ideal for the spiritual practice. Now,
for Gaudiya
Vaishnavas. But now, modern self-development gurus will say, this is problematic. If you stay with this mood of separation, you will always be separated.
And you will stay separated.
The background of this is a good point, that if you meditate about something, it's about that is what you will become. Like, therefore, a whole movement of positive thinking has developed, and it's now no longer called like this. But you focus on a goal, and you live it so. You have it in your mind, and then you become it. It's a true principle. What you think about, that you become. So that is now the question. Now let us address the question. I will give a spiritual answer first, and then I will give a psychological answer second. But the less important thing should be said first. I mean, they also talk about setting goals, you know, and this mood, when properly understood, is not going into, you're not supposed to go into self-deprecating, less energetic mood. No, you think there is the spiritual goal, and you will go for this. That's on the, but there's a much, much deeper secret here at work. And I want to quickly leave the relative point, because someone could still argue with me on this relative point. But see, in the very word vipralamba, that expresses this is something different than what you pine. Pine is another English word. You yearn for something and so. Because the vipralamba means, in relationship to Krishna, when you miss Krishna and you wish to be with him, at that time you are already with Krishna. This is paradoxical, I know, but we talk about spiritual things now. They are not in the frame of this simple and poor logic which we humans use. No, in the act of missing, of yearning, of feeling, oh, where are you, where are you? He's right there. The word vipra means distance, and alambana means you attain it. That only works in spiritual fields. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, if you miss an object of this world, or you're a person in this world, yes, you will keep on missing the person, and you will be very sad. You know this when you are very much separated from your good daughter, Ramani. After some time, you think, I guess I have to see her, you know. But it won't help you by just missing her. You will become more and more missing. But in Krishna consciousness, when Krishna is somehow or other in the mind, then even by whatever feeling, you are together with Krishna. That's Krishna. He's not mundane. He said, you think of Krishna in any way, and you are Krishna conscious. There is a verse when even someone brings Krishna by force in the mind, by force, then the wonderful benefit is there. The example is the Agasura demon. Yes, he was an Asura, a snake demon, who swallowed Krishna. You can't be more forceful than but because he was with Krishna, Krishna was in his throat, and eventually he burst out of the throat, you know. He first became hot like fire, and then Agasura left his body, so he hovered over his dead corpse, you say, and he waited for Krishna to come out with the cowherd boys who had been swallowed by Agasura. And the moment Krishna came out, the soul of Agasura went to Krishna and was with Krishna in his Brahman form, the Brahman effulgence. So there, the purport is given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Look at this demon. He brought Krishna by force into his inside, and even he, who had even a bad intention in doing it, got liberated and delivered. How much more so will be a devotee who occasionally thinks of Krishna? So if you go, you usually lament, oh, I'm missing enough money, I'm a poor Hare Krishna Grihastha, not enough payment here. My apartment, look at this. It is in the Wi-Fi house. There are four Wi-Fi things. That means a lot of unhealthy radiation in that house. Oh no. And you will go more and more into misery. But if you think, oh, here I am after so many years, what have I become? I'm not yet there. Oh, Krishna, Krishna, I need you. Immediately Krishna is there. And you will be Krishna conscious. Our problem is we miss the wrong things and become depressed. Oh, it's not here, it's not here. Hare Krishna. So I'm speaking practically. I will end here because it's time for all of us to take a morning breakfast. I request you to go there and be with us. You can already be there at 10:30 because the kirtan will start 10:30 to 11 o'clock. But if you can't make it so early, please be there for sure at 11 o'clock. Good. So then, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Have a wonderful day.